Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Sunday, Father's Day. You'll notice my voice is a little bit better. We are getting there. Many thanks for steroids. But that also means you don't want to get me mad right now. So we're about 90% right now. Still feeling pretty good. The only other announcement that I have for you today is that Mickey made sure that I let you all know that I am solely responsible for the music selections today. So there may be a song or two that you don't really know. That's okay. Do it the best you can. I'll help you out. We got it. Okay. Lots of ooing. Yeah, do lots of ooing. It'll be great. And you, joyful noise. That's all God cares about. Don't, if you can complain to me, but also remember, I am on steroids. Kristen, mad. Not really. Okay. Any other announcements? I can't.
I have one.
Yeah.
Yes, a few.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So, as many of you may or may not know, the ball field next door is part of our church property. And we've had an arrangement with Shaler Township for quite some time that they manage the field, maintain the field, and it remains our property. And also, we get a tax break because of all that. So, it's a pretty good arrangement for us. So Tim Rogers was a big part of that arrangement. He was the township manager for 30 years, and he retired this year. So the township came to us wanting to do something nice for Tim. He's a Glenshaw guy, grew up not quite lower Glenshaw, but we'll give him a break. So spent a lot of time at the field, the library, the school, etc. So they wondered if we would agree to them naming the field Tim Rogers Field. It will technically remain Glenshaw Field. So they want to dedicate that to him. There's a beautiful sign there. The session met, discussed all this, and agreed to that. So the sign is there, but the dedication will be June 27th. It's a Tuesday at 5 p.m. So we just want to open that up. If anyone would be interested in going to that dedication ceremony, we're not sure yet. They didn't let us know what is involved, if there's snacks and beverages, that kind of thing. So just putting that out there, and just to continue our good relationship with Shaler Township, and there you go.
Right, and we can let people know like how awesome we are, and how welcoming, and how much we appreciate that they come and use our field. June 27th, 5 p.m. at the ball field. Let's have a nice time and a nice welcome. I do have one other announcement. We are looking at updating our website, and there will be a time. Our very own Kimberly Norris is going to help us with that. And there will be going to be a time where we will want some input. If you would like to be part of that input, please let me know, and I will let you know when we'll all get together. Okay? All right. Now, are we ready to put our phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings? Get ready to worship God with our call to worship. O Lord my God, give light to my eyes. I trust in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, We Are Marching in the Light of God. You know this one. God's love is this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Assured already of God's grace and forgiveness, let us confess our sin together. Almighty God, you have promised liberation for your people and reconciliation for all of creation. We confess that we have grown weary of waiting. We have lowered our hopes and scaled our expectations according to the world, rather than believing in your steadfast word. We confess that we have grown comfortable in our waiting. We cry out for justice if it doesn't cost us too much. We proclaim your liberation as long as it doesn't impinge on the freedoms that we value most. We want to follow Jesus, healing the sick and doing good deeds, But we don't want to be mistreated or hated. We don't want to stir up the dust, must less shake it from our feet. Forgive us, we pray. Give us words to speak your liberating word and endurance to persevere until your kingdom comes. Amen. Hear the good news. God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness is promised to all generations. We are justified by faith, forgiven and freed, and at peace with God and each other through Christ. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And please be seated for our choir's anthem. Let us lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. As we give thanks to you, O God, for the fathers and men who have cared for us and sustained us on our journeys of life, we pray for those who are in need of your fatherly care. We commend to you all who seek to live as men of faith. We pray for the church universal. We pray for this congregation, its mission, and its ministry. We pray for the healing of the earth, especially for the wildfires affecting Canada right now. We pray for peace and justice in this world. On the eve of Juneteenth, we recognize that so many people still cry out for liberation. We operate and perpetuate unjust systems built on oppression. Freedom and emancipation have been proclaimed throughout the land, but many are still in bonds today. We pray for our nations and leaders. We pray for those who have power without the wisdom to use it well, and for those who have wisdom without the power to apply it. We pray for those who suffer in mind, body, and spirit. We pray for Sue Galley's brother Mike, Kathy Sagi, Mabe Sasso, and Thomas Baalbek, whose sister died on Wednesday. We pray for BJ's brother Butch, who with heart problems. We pray for those who struggle with mental illness and addiction and the impacts of trauma. We pray for the lonely, the hurt, and the estranged. We pray for all who live in chronic sickness or pain. Give us compassion in our relationships and encounters with others who are fighting battles that we don't know about. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise, Go Tell It on the Mountain. You know this one. I know you know this one.
Thank you.
that wasn't so bad. God gave the only begotten Son so that we may have eternal life through him. Let us offer our thanksgiving with the gifts of our lives. Liberating God, use these gifts to transform the world, to bring about your justice, peace, and reconciliation for all of creation. Transform us as we offer them to be partners and co-creators of your beloved kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I have the scripture reading, but I am going to share a joy with you since I have the microphone today. My son-in-law, Josh Hartle, he retired from the Pittsburgh Police due to his years of service in the military and his service at work, and it was a rigorous process, but he was hired as the Ross Township policeman. They hired 5 new people, which of course he was number one, and they will be sworn in this week on Tuesday. So we'll welcome all those new officers. So.
Yay. Thank
you. Okay. The scripture reading this morning is John 8, 31 to 38. And I was going to say it's a new...
Revised.
New
version.
Yes.
Revised.
New revised.
Standard
version. So that was marked here, so we know that. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for an opportunity to kill me because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father."
Please pray with me. God of wisdom, speak again your liberating word to us today. By the power of your Holy Spirit poured into our hearts, make us ready and willing to respond to your call to us today. Amen. So, theologically, I have a difficult time celebrating secular and national holidays during worship. We're here to worship God. And don't get me wrong, I love holidays. It's hard to turn down a good party. Hence my voice. I don't have any issues celebrating outside of worship or using space within the church building to celebrate anything, really. But I really do try to make an effort to make this time and this space sacred. A few weeks ago, there were more than a few complaints that I did not do enough to celebrate Memorial Day in worship. So I thought today I might remedy that by making a more concerted effort to acknowledge our country's newest federal holiday. Juneteenth is tomorrow. So there won't be any mail. Carol, the banks will be closed.
Thank you. Throws off the whole week.
I know. There's some big celebrations scheduled throughout the city, so watch out for traffic. Just a little background on Juneteenth. The Emancipation Proclamation was signed by President Lincoln on January 1st of 1963. January 1st of 1863. And this effectively liberated all slaves in the states that seceded from the Union. Make no mistake, this was not a statement about the immorality of chattel slavery. It was a military tactic. Nevertheless, it was the dawn of a new day for African Americans in this country. Unfortunately, plantation owners in Texas kept this information to themselves, and approximately 250,000 people were kept in bondage and terror for almost 2.5 more years, until on June 19th of 1865, when the Union Major General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, and announced the end of both the Civil War and slavery with General Order Number 3, which reads in part, "The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves. The connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between an employer and a hired laborer." It goes on, there's more, but that's the gist of it. Can you imagine the excitement that those people felt in that moment? The celebration should, you know, if you're going to use Queen's English, it should be called June 19th, like July 4th. But the slaves were so tongue-tied with excitement in that moment when those literal and figurative chains of bondage fell from their bodies and their souls. And it came out instead Juneteenth. The following year, in June of 1866, the former slaves gathered to celebrate their liberation with cookouts and games and music and fellowship. And the African American community has continued the tradition ever since. In our scripture passage from John today, there's also a huge party going on. Jesus and those who had believed in him were in Jerusalem for the Festival of the Tabernacles. It's an eight-day celebration, sort of marking the end of the harvest, but more importantly, it's a commemoration of God's guidance in the wilderness following their release from slavery in Egypt. And during this festival, which is still celebrated today in contemporary times by Jewish people, during this festival, the people build small, like tents or booths or tabernacles to symbolize God's sheltering presence. Earlier in John's Gospel, before this passage, Jesus depicts himself as the actual fulfillment of Israel's faith and hope by declaring that he is the supreme source of living water and the light of the world that shines brighter than any candle. And once we get to this passage, Jesus says that he is the ultimate source of truth. And the ultimate source of truth leads to ultimate freedom. It's no coincidence that the concept at the heart of the Festival of Tabernacles is freedom, emancipation, liberation. Immediately, some people in the crowd claim that they're already free. They don't need this truth, this freedom. They're descendants of Abraham. They've never even been slaves. Seriously? Did they forget the whole point of this festival that they traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate? Their history is filled with slavery in Egypt, in Babylon. Like, even at the time that this took place, they were being held captive by Rome. Jesus had just declared that the truth emancipates people. And immediately the people offer up a false assessment of their history. We should all actually be wary of this sort of danger. I understand, I really understand, wanting to sweep the brutality of chattel slavery in this country under the rug and locking it up as something that happened by and to other people a long time ago. But denying it, forgetting it, only leads to more sinister conditions and treatment of God's people. You'd think that what Jesus was offering, liberation from sin, slavery, the law, injustice, death, you'd think that that would have been welcome news. Surprisingly, they hear Jesus talk about a kind of liberation that goes far beyond what they were thinking of as in terms of freedom. They wanted freedom from Rome, and they don't want to hear what Jesus is selling, because that sounds hard. And sin is easy. Sin becomes habitual. So habitual that we don't even realize that we're committing sin. Now, sin isn't just about the Ten Commandments. Sin is anything that turns our attention away from God or God's creation. It's being more obedient to the world than to God's heavenly order. The pain and harm that we cause one another through our words and our actions is sinful. The social systems that create and perpetuate poverty and war and discrimination, those are sinful. And we are constantly enslaved by it and we don't even know it. Alternatively, the truth, the path of Jesus, is hard. Peaceful, loving, joyful relationships take a lot of time and a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy to think about people outside of ourselves and our circles and maintain a connection with God. Disrupting the status quo of sin feels threatening. And even though living as a slave to sin is miserable for everyone, we're still held captive by it. The listeners claim that they are descendants of Abraham, and Jesus affirms them, but he contrasts their claim of being descendants of Abraham with their behavior. They've confused being children of Abraham and being children of God, thinking that those two things are one and the same. However, our identity as liberated or slave is determined more through our actions rather than our lineage. We can claim all we want. I'm sure you've experienced this. I certainly have. People laying claim to God's favor because, you know, they go to church sometimes. And they use their membership in church as an excuse to treat other people poorly or to flatly ignore their needs. We are all held captive by sin. Not one of us is exempt from that. And when we deny our captivity to sin, we deny the power of sin, and we fail to acknowledge God. And that leads to serving the forces in opposition to God. Our only chance of liberation comes through hearing and receiving and keeping the word of God. Even though we are a long way from chattel slavery and Jim Crow laws, justice is still being denied to many African Americans today. Men and women are arrested or die for driving while black. Less than 1% of corporate heads are African American. And even though technically redlining when trying to secure a loan for a home or a business is illegal, it still happens. There are discriminatory hiring practices and wage offers where black men and women make about 24% less than their white counterparts. No one here is directly responsible for any of those things. None of us here have done this purposely, or it's not our fault. We didn't cause them, but we'd still rather not think about them. Although there are still some people out there today that would flat out deny that any of these things happen, we're still called to love our neighbors. As a diverse nation, a diverse city, we really need to take seriously other people's experiences in order to live into the gospel of loving others. Ultimately, as Christians, Juneteenth can help us remember that we worship a relentlessly liberating God. A God who is continuously sending Jesus to us, sending the truth to us if we listen, We can be liberated. We worship a God who is relentlessly liberating and a God who invites us to participate in God's liberating work. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. This is the one that I think that you're really not going to know very well, but it's a good song. And you're going to sing it again on July 2nd. God of our silence. did great. You did. You did a good job. Before we go back into the... Oh, you know what, George? I could have asked you to sing in Latin. I know how much you love that. Okay, before we go back out into the world, let me offer a blessing. Friends, there is still work to be done. Jesus still sends us out into the world to love and serve as the body of Christ. You don't need to pack a bag or bring a change of clothes. God will provide us all that we need. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, let us go into the world with God's liberating word on our lips until all are free and all creation reconciled as one beloved community. Amen.